Hello, everybody. That was a completely jimmy-rigged version of our intro. We are recording off-site from the Horace podcast suite, so we are at an undisclosed location right now, and we need to lay down a benchwarmer. There's been some events, Quinn, in the Bison world.
Yeah, first of all, I was listening to this podcast or the show, YouTube show, whatever. It just popped into my head, or I was told that Tampa, Florida is host of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Why is Bay in there?
I don't know.
I didn't like it.
The city is just Tampa, Florida.
Cody, you aren't listening, but Cordell is. Cordell, ask Cody why that's a thing.
I know.
I need to know the answer to that because I don't like that at all.
Yeah, Cody's done a couple of phone number changes, and we haven't got the updated one. So,
yeah.
If somebody who knows Cody could let him know we're asking, that'd be great.
I wanted to start off by talking about something really important. So,
yeah, that's number one important.
Yeah. Also, why don't they make every three-lane road, why isn't the right lane always right turn? Sometimes it's straight and
now,
right turn.
Now you're tackling the road. Not even three-lane. Two-lane roads where it's just two turning lanes. You know what I mean? There's no straight option.
Yeah.
Or there is a straight option. Left and straight need to be always right on its own.
Yeah.
And the three-lane, the road I'm thinking of is southbound on 45th, like towards Osgood Hornbacher's. The far right lane is for turning, but people will stay in that lane so they can go straight down that road.
Yeah.
Get in the middle lane.
Yeah.
And now you got me going three-lane interstate. Unless your exit's coming up within a mile, you
middle
don't
lane.
Need to be in the right lane.
Yeah, you got to get in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't care that you're nervous because you're between two cars.
Yeah. It's like a $15 ticket if you're 20 over. Just hammer it down. We're so back.
I'm glad we got – I'm trying to think of what else has been pissing me off lately.
We're just airing your grievances. This is your Festivus.
Yeah, I got nothing else really.
Well, we're completely winging this show, so it's going to be really benchwarmers.
Yeah.
Benchwarmers.
Do you want to start Coach P or do you want to just start like playoff run?
Let's recap, kind of the season and
okay.
And playoff run.
I would just say like, and we know quite a few guys that are either just got done / still on the team. You played an extra spring season more than I did. So like even like Cam's class, I don't know them at all. Just didn't really try to attempt to get to know them during the COVID fall ball.
Sure.
Fall camp. But if you would have told me they would have been in a semifinal game after the UND game.
Yeah.
I mean, the pictures on Twitter are like immediately following the UND loss, I just went out and smoked some cigs.
Yeah.
Just like couldn't be more sad than what I watched. And, you know, the rest of the year they looked better after that, I guess. But they beat teams that they should have. I think – and then, like, the SDSU loss, I think they looked good all the way up probably until half, and then things kind of fell apart. But I'm trying to think of what game it was. The Northern Iowa game, that was
the last game of the year?
Yeah, I think they looked pretty good.
Yeah. Southern Illinois, they looked really solid, too.
Yeah. I mean, they had a good – the vibes were a little higher going into the playoffs, and then they
beat Drake.
Blow out Drake.
Yep.
Whatever. I mean, even for an off year, I think that's something that, I don't know, fans and players expect a little bit.
Yeah.
And then that Montana at Montana State round two is just insane.
It was just an incredible football game.
Yeah.
Like everything from like a 10,000 foot view. Bozeman is, and maybe besides where Montana plays, might be the best view in college football. It was just gorgeous. They have the intro, and like, I will give Montana college football fans in general, MSU and UM, they love college football because, I mean, they're packing 20,000 into their stadiums when it's 10 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think has to just be, like, hunger still.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know – we can get to it, but I didn't even know Montana the last two times was 08, 09. They went to the Natty. I don't think it was in Frisco. They lost both of those.
Yeah.
Losing back-to-back years – in the national championship would be tough.
Did you see that spin zone from that Montana fan on Facebook?
No.
That Montana, all of the FCS dynasties, like going back to Marshall.
Montana has beat.
So yeah. Montana, by proxy, is a dynasty.
Yeah.
Which, like, is the perfect college football fan take. where it's just serious enough, but still trolling that it will piss everybody off who reads it.
Yeah, for sure. I want my flowers. I left the number one NDSU football fan page on Facebook.
I'm glad you did. It's bad for your health.
For my own well-being.
That's the only bad thing for your health that you do.
Yeah, just had to do it. Just after it wasn't. I can't remember if it was even before or after the Montana loss, but proud of myself for that one. I'll probably rejoin it here after Christmas. But
dude, Twitter drives me crazy enough. I can't do even more of it.
Facebook,
and I basically select who I listen to on Twitter.
Yeah.
So, but and then obviously we have to shout out our benchwarmer king, Hunter Pontius.
God,
like, dude, yeah,
when that happened, I don't even. We're at someone's house, can't really remember, and I just remember I was basically alone in the basement of the house.
Yeah.
And I just let out a scream. Didn't know who blocked it, obviously, and then they like show the replay and they have him they have his big paw on the screen, and then like everyone just surrounding him after the game, and that's just a guy like he has like went through it.
Yeah.
He's done the full bench warmer. Life.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been...
The program kid life.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been here, and I think... I can't remember if he's coming back or not, or if he... I think he celebrated Senior Day, maybe.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember, but...
The six-year dude is really throwing me off.
Oh, it's terrible, yeah.
Because it was fine, whatever, like, guys that were our age. It's like, okay, they get to play another one.
Yeah.
The kids who were, like, freshman and sophomore, I'm like, dude, Cam can come back for another one.
It's all Cam, yeah. It's Cam's class. But, like, I don't know anyone... In his class, even the class above that, I think, is Pontius in them, and sometimes those guys blend in. And obviously, like, I have no idea what anyone's age is after Cam's class. But, yeah, couldn't have been happier for Ponch. Bought that shirt. Don't know if I'll ever wear it.
Can I just say something?
Ponch, I love you. I don't know if I'm wearing your ugly mug on my chest, but
yeah,
I probably will.
Ugly sweater party.
Yeah. That's going to be one where it's in my closet. And every day when I like look for a shirt to wear, I'll hit that once in a while, and it'll give me a laugh.
Yeah,
it's a great shirt. It's that I have it right next to the Colonel Zebulaia that South Carolina
saw
sold.
Your bit shirts.
Yeah,
I.
And then my Hasbulla shirt.
I love and appreciate the NIL store that they put out Ponch because that's our guy like getting shine. I wish the design didn't make it look like a memorial T-shirt.
Definitely the date.
Faded out picture of him.
I wonder if the date could have been left off.
Yeah.
Because if it would have just said the Bozeman block with his face on it.
Yeah.
And like the print, probably would have been good enough.
They should have designed it like those like corny 90s.
Yeah. The date is very much like RIP.
Yeah.
Like the football hit his arm and it. Like sliced an artery,
dude, and just like
the leather sliced an artery in his arm. He bled out on the field.
Yeah, and he was like winning player of the week things.
It was awesome.
Just like because we know Ponch and what a doofus he is, and the picture of him just holding his wrist up with the laces on it is so perfect.
So funny. Yeah, that was crazy.
That Montana State kicker, get ready to learn Chinese, buddy, because you don't have a future in kicking footballs.
That was rough. That just kept him in the game too, because like. That's just kind of how these guys played all year. As frustrating as they were to watch, they were, I don't know. They definitely stuck. I mean, that UND loss, I think, obviously, like, it changed them. Because it changed a lot of, like, our perspective in, like, the old man chat.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, like, my class, maybe a few guys a year older and then under.
Yeah.
Like our snap group, because after that game, I mean, all hope lost as far as a fan perspective.
Yeah, dude, and
you just hoped like the guys in the room were gonna figure it out.
I would have rather it have been a case that UND was just better than us.
Yeah,
but we quit, and that
it just looked like it for that UND game. It's just as soon as like the one thing, I mean, the kickoff return touchdown, obviously, and then we come back on offense, score, and then like.
Because it was like 21-14 at half, something like that.
Yeah, I think just the biggest takeaway going into like Montana State and during the Montana State game, it was always just like they can't seem to take full advantage of like the sudden change.
Yeah, and it's never complimentary. It wasn't this last year.
Yeah,
and honestly, like it had kind of been brewing the year before, where it's like nobody's really playing off of each other.
But man, someone tweeted it, but like honestly became like one of my favorite teams.
Yeah.
Just because of how they fought in the playoffs. I mean, NDSU has really never been put in a position like that. Three road playoff games in a row. Can't remember 2010. Because they only made it to the quarters. So it was a home game and then two roads.
I think
two
they
roads.
Played Robert Morris, Montana State, and then Eastern Washington.
Yeah. So, I mean, just literally never been done at this level here. Three road games like that. Montana State game was so cool. And then they just play their best game of the year at USD.
Oh, my God.
I've never, like, I just wasn't expecting it out of this team.
Yeah.
And, like, that's not meant as a slight. It's just that they seem to just be cardiac. Like,
they hadn't played that way.
Yeah, they just seem to be, like they just play. The games are always close. They're, like, kind of, like, either heartbreaking if they lose or, like, how did they pull that off, like, the Bozeman block. But, I mean, first play to last whistle, like, one of the bigger ass kickings on like a Missouri Valley level that I've seen.
It had been a while since there were like opposing defenders tapping the helmets.
Yeah.
Like, get me out of here. The and quarterback then, like, didn't want to play anymore.
Yeah. And then in a legal, just in a sense of the word, like they were headhunting out there on defense.
Of course.
Like every hit was legal.
That game was personal to them.
Yeah,
I don't know
why. Every single hit was legal. They weren't actually headhunting, but they were body hunting.
Yeah.
Like they were. And, like, I remember my freshman year just being on defense. It was so harped on. Like, 11 guys were out on the ball. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's how all this started was just the defensive players, Code Green, back in, like, 2010 and 11.
Literally
when
hunting.
You looked on film, it was actually, like, 10, 11 guys at the ball.
Yeah.
And I think we were green, white, green that game at USD. And there was just 11 green helmets on the ball. And it was a classic – because the quarterback diced us up the first time, and I just felt like we just didn't bring enough pressure.
Yeah.
And everyone I talked to, we were all just okay. Die by the pressure.
Yeah.
If he's gonna beat, like the defense, like if we have zero pressure on, so be
it. Live by it, die by it.
Yeah. And that was a classic. That's what we used to do to Christensen at STSU. Mm-hmm. It was, I think we sacked Bauman. They sacked Bauman twice.
Yeah.
They might have hit him 30 times.
100 times.
How many times did he drop? Like, however many attempts he had, there was two more sacks. That's the amount of times they hit him.
It also must just be a college coach in South Dakota thing that when your quarterback is clearly punch drunk, roll him back out, baby. Give him another series. Let's go.
Yeah.
Dude, that playoff game, Terran Christian was dead on the field.
Yeah, I mean, Jim got away with the little one because that probably was that was targeting on our sideline. But
he immediately threw a pick, didn't he?
Yeah.
The next play?
Yeah. But no, Bauman was just like actually – like there was one time where it actually looked like his body was being peeled off the turf.
Yeah.
Like it looked like there was like remains of him.
Like a cartoon, they're like shoveling him off. Yeah.
Yeah. But, God, that was such a good game.
Dude, D-tackles were getting home.
Yeah, man.
It was everybody. It was awesome.
Heisman did like the Superman jump to the ankles.
He's sick.
And then Javi killed him.
Yeah.
You were in a different chat saying that he got ejected. And if Javi would have gotten ejected for that
– yeah. You would have lost.
I would have appealed somehow.
I think it was Trev. I think Trev said, like, they're reviewing it for targeting.
Yeah.
That's why I said that.
And then they came back, and I'm, like, searching for Javi. I'm like, where is he? Where is he? Look, there's no way. There's no way they're doing this. But, yeah, that USD game, man, that was – they should all just be, like, proud of that. Because, like,
absolutely.
Road teams do not do that.
No.
And I know this team is obviously different than – like most
everybody
road
else,
teams in the playoffs, but that had to have been one of the higher scoring, like one of the higher like marginal wins. What am I saying? Marginal something of victory that like has ever been in the playoffs for a road team.
I let you work that one out. You got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Margins of victory.
What a great bus ride home. Just shot on I-29.
Yeah. Because that, if you lose,
that's
coming
a tough
back
ride
from
home.
Verm. That is tough.
Verm's a dump, dude.
Yeah. So, oh my God. That was the best tweet I saw. I was like, at least I don't have like some USD fan said, at least I don't have to drive back to Fargo.
I actually
like, what are you talking about?
I actually DM'd with that guy. Like he sent me a message
was
and
it
he's
funny?
Like he's a good guy. He's like, I was just coping.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Verm.
Yeah.
Just this so funny. That tweet was funny. But
I had said it after the UNI game, I think, the Southern Illinois was like, okay, there's some Bison football. The UNI game was kind of like that USD game, the throwback, like, we're hunting people, we're going to score on pick sixes.
Yeah, they. I mean, that was because up to the USD game, that was the best they looked all year.
Yeah.
It was against UNI.
And it just breathed this life in where it was like, this feels like the early dynasty teams where they were scrappy and things bounced our way and got us to the next game, and then we just started beating people.
Yeah, not necessarily doing everything right, but
yeah,
somehow.
And that kind of takes – Montana State game, we did not play well and ended up with a win. You go in, didn't do a single – I bet everybody graded at 100% against USD.
Pretty close.
And
I mean, I can't remember. I honestly can't remember, like, a bad play.
No.
I think they scored – yeah, they held them to a field goal – on that first drive, because they threw a bomb.
Yeah.
Bowman had a bomb down the sideline.
I think
to get him
long
in range,
too.
But man, it was just an unbelievable game to watch. And like, you had to just felt like so happy for those guys, because they had just not felt that feeling against a good team in so long.
Yeah.
Because even dating back to last year, like, I just feel like, I don't know. This is like, in my mind, and I could be missing one, could be wrong, but like, it's always skewed because it was an ass kicking, but like, probably in my mind, the best game they've played in like actually 2 years.
As far as close to like the standard we're used to of Bison football, that was as close as it's been.
Not
in
the
a
best
while.
Game I've ever. I mean, that Incarnate Word game that we sat in the south end zone on was probably the coolest game I've watched.
Yeah,
just because of like how bad they played in that first quarter. We get there at the end of the first. We had to listen to the.
Yeah,
thing on radio,
8,000 people in there.
But yeah, just obviously they had to have been happy, but just like knowing some of those guys and just probably the mental, honestly,
fortitude.
The mental toughness too to like go and do that.
Yeah,
cause you 8-3,
mm-hmm.
7-3, and all three losses were to the Dakotas,
Dakota schools,
which is. Just, I think it was the first time since like 02.
Yeah.
I can't even believe it had happened before.
Yeah.
But obviously, yeah, just happy for those guys and that game. But
yeah, I've been glad too about like, and obviously we'll get into the Montana game, but like the reception from the fans about this season. I don't think anybody was, I think they outperformed what they were destined for, like from the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Minus the three losses in the regular season, going to the semifinals and taking Montana to the wire in double OT. And then how they just started winning games. Like, it, like you said, this is the old head, but like they made me proud this year of watching them fight through. Because after that UND game, they absolutely could have been like, whatever, this season's done. And just.
That's where I was.
Yeah. I know you were. They could absolutely just rolled them out and been like, whatever. Like, you know, start it up again next year.
Yeah.
And they didn't, dude. They fought all the way end and all the way to the end. And like I said, they took the 2 seed to double OT. And obviously, we always talked about before the season, the number one goal is to win the Missouri Valley. Been a couple of years. SCSU's rolling. But the expectation is to end up playing in that game on the first weekend of January.
Yeah.
But, dude, I'm so proud of how they played this season and bounced back through all the adversity.
Yeah, and I think part of the frustration, and this is where I get old head, because this is where I think part of the frustration all year was because the way last year ended.
Yeah.
And, like, we can give credit to people we hate and dislike.
Yeah.
SDSU is just better than everyone right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that loss in the Natty last year, obviously, like, we've talked to guys since then. Like, the guys on the team, they were just like, they're really good. Like,
I don't know.
We did our best. Like,
it didn't matter who we rolled out.
Yeah. But I think part of me was just like, I hope that, like, I just thought, like, they'd start the year and they look so good. Like, they would just kill everybody. Like, all these Dakota teams, no shot. And then, like, they would just be so pissed against SDSU. And then they come out this year. And I think, I don't know. And, like, I don't even know if they know. Maybe they don't know either. But like in my mind, when I rethought about this a few days ago, if we were playing that SDSU loss, like if we would have lost to SDSU in a Natty, obviously you're pissed, but it probably just naturally does something to you too, where like it could carry over easily into another season.
Absolutely.
And it did just look like they were in a funk halfway through the year. Like, and I think like they lost the USD game and it made it a little worse.
Like that,
and
like then the Super Bowl hangover kind of thing.
Yeah, and then the UND game happens.
Yeah.
And it's just like all of these losses to like teams so close to you.
Yeah.
We're competing for the same recruits. We're in the same area, mm-hmm. like of the country, like relatively very close compared to like other rivalries. It's just, I think it just naturally had like a bad effect on like the team. And obviously we know guys that said they had a big meeting after the UND loss.
UND game, yeah.
And they just like,
That's what makes me proud, man. Like that, it's a player driven program. We heard that 100 times while we were there. And that is, they have to carry the tradition.
Yeah, and I don't think it was, I mean, it got publicized, obviously, but
yeah.
It wasn't like a thing like, hey, we're going to meet in the team room. I think they all just went to somebody's house.
Yep.
I'm sure some beers were cracked. I'm sure some, like, music was playing. And I bet it was just like a explicit version of, we got to go.
It seems like the accountability.
Yeah, up. Like, we got to go now.
Yeah.
Or else we're going to be known as one of the worst teams here in the last decade and a half.
Right.
And obviously the semifinal loss like puts them in that category, but not in my mind. Like,
yeah, not really.
Not the the way they fought and the way they got better after that UND loss. Yeah, definitely proud of those guys and the way they finished the year at Montana, who back in the Natty for the first time since 2009.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 years before we went.
Their
defense is good.
Yeah.
They got some, like, big dudes.
They've got thumpers. Like, yeah. They hit.
Yes.
And that's, like, a tradition for Montana football.
Their offense just gives me no hope that they'll be a contest for SDSU.
If I could legally sports gamble,
yeah,
the mortgage would be on 14.5 or SDSU minus 14.5.
Yeah, it opened at 12.5, and I'm sure that's just going to – I mean
– it might get it up has like 16. To
I think it'll touch three possessions.
Yeah.
So what about 16 – or that'd have to be 17? 16 and a half technically.
Yeah. 17.5, yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's no hope SDSU loses in Frisco because –
No, the only like – not even loses, but just competitive. SDSU would have to turn the ball over so many times. Montana would have to have another special teams touchdown.
Yeah.
Which.
That dude's sick, though. He did it twice against
Vernon. Yeah, and his name is Junior.
Yeah.
Or his nickname is.
He's a dog. I also. Apparently, like, weird fan, like, fan bases find this podcast, which I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Because I'll get yelled at sometimes. Montana fans are freaks.
Yeah, for sure.
They're insane people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it just, oh, so, that whatever, kick return just hurts.
Keep it to yourself. About. You're going to lose in the Natty. And if you don't, first person to.
If you don't, thanks. Like, cool.
First person to send me this episode back in my DMs as receipts, I'll send you $100 or something. That'll keep you off my back if Montana wins.
Am I included in that?
No.
Okay.
You're not a Montana fan.
I am for that game.
Yeah.
SDSU just, yeah. I don't even want to talk about them. They're just, they're on such a roll right now.
Yeah.
I just hope.
How do you think they get received by the portal? Do you think anybody leaves? Because they drink the Kool-Aid down there.
Well,
the Yankees have to leave, thankfully.
Yeah, they're 6 years.
Yeah.
But they just had, is it that true freshman from Sioux Falls?
Yes,
that's so
he's
good.
A dog too. He's Yankee the third.
Yeah.
There's no way Gronowski doesn't have a 7-figure
offer. The old line
offer.
Has a lot of revamping after this year.
Yeah.
But like honestly, with how old these guys are, their replacements are probably gonna be 4th year juniors or whatever.
You can't tell me that Gronowski and Adam Bach don't have giant offers in the portal.
Yeah, they have to, but
will they stay?
With that second signing day? Where the first one always was, mm-hmm. was the first weekend of February.
Yeah.
I would have a hard time thinking that Gronowski would not. Because, like, you're most likely coming off back-to-back.
Right.
I think he was the MVP last year. Him or Davis will get the MVP this year. Like,
Davis is going, thankfully.
I think it's, like, not official, but it's, like, well-known within.
He's going to the league.
SDSU's circle that. It's either league or it's portal to somewhere huge. Yeah. Thank God.
He's so good.
But are they just going to have another one?
Because
they won Pierre. Yeah. I thought Pierre Strong was the best that they'll ever have.
Isaiah Davis is way better
than
Pierre.
So good. Yeah. They were on the same team, I think.
Yeah.
I think they were on the 19 team.
Yeah, because Davis was young, I remember.
So
and
young.
We were like, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. Because it was those runs against Sam Houston.
The 605 Hogs, they're actual Hogs.
Yeah.
They are giant dudes.
Yep. Shout out to Eck.
I tried to win his.
I hate that that's such like a. It's too much. 605 Hogs isn't like that cool. It's too many.
Yeah.
Too many characters.
You
got to
be one thing. Yeah. Hogs.
But no, I think right now, like, because here's the thing, like, yeah, you could, and here's what will hurt most. I don't know their schedule next year. They have.
Oh, there's a D2 team on it.
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah, so they are.
They have Incarnate Word coming.
They are in a good spot to break our.
Yeah.
Winning streak record.
Well, they play Oklahoma State.
When? First game?
First game. That's our only saving grace.
I mean, Oklahoma State. Didn't they just lose to someone bad this year?
I think they played in the Big 12 title game.
No.
They played Texas, did they not?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I thought they lost a bad game this year. Maybe
they might have. Either way, but just don't touch
the. They lost to CMU at home like 8 years ago.
That was a fun game.
Yeah. Remember, he ran all the way across.
Just don't hit 37 or whatever it is.
Oh, God, I'll be so sad. Yeah. But come on, come on. That'll make me sad. But, like, here's the thing. They are at the beginning of the dynasty.
Yeah.
Of their dynasty. If they, like, go on a dynasty run, that's why guys stay there right now. It's because, like, they're still so bought in. Whereas, like, guys right now, you are on the back end of what was one dynasty.
Yeah.
I think, like, chapter is not closed, but, like, you are starting completely new with, like, a lot of guys starting next year. And I think that's what makes it harder to keep guys around here.
Do you think after they win two, we'll be within our rights? I feel like it's been a normal standard across all sports that a dynasty starts at 3 championships in 10 years.
Five.
Five? I think it's 3.
Oh, I was saying.
Do you think after they win two?
I was saying like 3 and 5 years.
Oh, 3 and 5. I thought you were saying 5 and 10.
But that's just because it's like a back to back. Maybe lose one,
maybe
and then win
and
one.
Five. Sure.
I was thinking shorter year gap.
Yeah, consecutive. It definitely has to be around each other because, like, if the Chiefs win one more.
Because that's why they say Patriots had like 3 dynasties.
Have the Chiefs won 2?
Yeah.
So they win a third one, it's a dynasty.
Because if they win,
it's Andy Reid, Mahomes. Like, it's an era thing too.
Yeah, and
but
I feel like the higher.
I know we will
I feel like
see,
the higher the level gets too, the more it's
sure.
Because those guys stay.
Yeah.
Mahomes can be there for 10 years. Right. College players are, you know. So, like, that's why, like, colleges, I feel like it's, like, a short. Like, if a star quarterback is just there for, like, for 3 years and they win it all 3.
So, I actually want feedback on this, on what people think. And if you're an SDSU fan somehow listening to this, send it to your SDSU fans. I know some people, like, interact with each other on there.
Yeah.
Will SDSU fans call this a dynasty after winning 2?
Back-to-back?
Yeah. Will they and are will
this
they
is
and
a
are
great
they,
internet topic.
Will they and are they in their right to do so?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're on a great run.
They're a very good team.
Yeah, they're on one of the best runs that like the FCS has seen in a while.
And people saying it's one of the best, or it's the I saw one of them. And again, this is like just
the best.
Yeah, they said they're the best FCS team to ever play. And
yeah,
again, I'm not a lot of people do this. Like,
I'll put it up.
They characterize as as the entire fan base, like they like to paint people with a one broad brush. I don't think that's an opinion held by all SDSU fans. They're
I also
very
think
good
we can just
team.
All say that all of the FCS teams of yesteryear that are now Group of Five, like
that
NDSU beat when they were on when we like first started the dynasty, like disagree.
Like James Madison,
Georgia Southern,
Coastal,
Coastal. Same Coastal was such a weird team because you always – I'm convinced Coastal never got that close because of their field is teal.
Yeah. It would have been sweet for us to go out there.
Yeah.
Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
Did you see
– Rich Rod.
Did you see Coastal Carolina's coach picture with the dance team on the beach?
Shirtless.
They're all in
bikinis. He has like the Coach O body.
Yeah.
But
no, the Ray Baker.
I think – yeah. I think SDSU is great right now.
I think if you win 3, you have all rights within to say you're
I also think the FCS is just not what it used to be.
No.
Teams are going up left and right.
That's the thing,
because Delaware's gone now. It's like – so, like, all these teams, it's just like now – oh, I don't want to – I don't know.
Say it.
I have no bridges to burn, but, like, you're seeing teams that are in it now that just were never in it.
Yeah.
Like in the playoffs.
Sure.
And the leagues are getting smaller. Like, that's why it's disappointing that we're still playing.
Yeah. And I've made this argument 100 times. And it's so funny to me to see, like, other FCS guys, like, well, is the situation really better for NDSU if they go FBS? Yes.
Yes.
In every way, it's better. It's literally a step up. It's classified in every documentation and every conversation that people have. FBS is a higher level than FCS. But.
And you have, how many more is it? Is it 15 or 25 more scholarships, or what's that number?
I think it's 20.
And it's all full.
Yeah.
So.
And guess what? If we're an FBS school, I bet that dome's full every Saturday.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet.
Yeah. Yeah. It might take a year, but it'll get there eventually. I have no hope right now where we're at.
I'm a little less pessimistic than you about it.
Good for you.
I think people are energized right now, and obviously we'll talk about why. But
get your ass.
The other thing that makes me laugh is hearing people pump up schools that aren't the Montana schools or Valley schools as far as national title contenders. I'm sorry. Until somebody does it in the next 5 years, I'm not going to take
them seriously.
Yeah,
you look at the final four or final eight.
It's been a Dakota school or a Montana school.
Yeah.
Probably playing each other.
You throw in a few East Coast schools.
Sam Houston.
I want to shout out Villanova. I don't know.
That defense. Man.
Holy.
That was teach tape.
Holy shit.
That was legitimate teach tape.
They were all built like Montana's defense, and they hit twice as hard.
I've never seen NDSU fit up STSU offense
no,
like that.
No, that defense was real.
Yeah.
Sucked that their offense just could not produce anything for them.
Hey, Mr. Big offensive tackle in the portal, you should come play in Fargo.
Yeah.
6'6", 310.
Good guard tape.
We got a spot for you.
Good guard tape. I don't know. Do you agree with me on the transfer portal center to start for you first year here would be a tall order?
It would have to be a special kind of guy to learn it. Because, like, I'm not saying I'm extraordinary or super smart, but it took me 1 to 2 years to really understand it.
Yeah.
And you don't want to dumb down the offense.
And it's never been – no one's ever done it either. I mean
– right.
Not in our – because who was – I mean, I'm trying to think as far back as I can go.
Volson, Cooney, Joe Lund.
Yeah.
Like all
– and all those guys sat.
Yeah.
You sat for at least a year.
Yeah.
I think Cooney was two. Because I think of sophomore, junior.
Yeah, because he played guard.
Guard, sophomore year. Yeah, and it's same with Tanner, same thing with Cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out Carson, man. One of the most underrated football players to play here.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of everything. Him and Beeks, man, they did not get enough love.
And we saw his ass every day in the meeting room.
We still see it when we hang out with him. It goes halfway up his back. I don't know how it works. Carson, you're not listening.
Yeah,
so.
The Montana game. It was a fun game.
Dude, that place looks so fun.
So fun.
30,000 people just rocking.
Yeah. I think part of it was just they ran out of some gas. Yeah. Three road games in a row.
A lot of shooting ourselves in the foot. And that,
They reverted back to kind of like not the pre-UND, but even after that UND loss, when a few of those games were probably closer than they needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Offense stalled out a few times that first half where, first of all, I'm not going to say what I was about to say, but Eli Green.
Dog.
I mean.
Leaguer.
I've never.
Cause he's like, my favorite
is
football
Is he 5?
5'11".
Yeah, 5'11", 6 foot. He jumps so high on all those. He's like Mike Williams on 50-50 balls.
It's like
85-15.
Yeah.
And if it's the 15%, like it was someone got away with pass interference.
It's so different. And
it's insane.
This is not.
And I don't know if anyone. We've had so many good receivers here. I don't know if we've ever had anyone like him.
And even beyond the athleticism stuff, we'd have Christian Watson, freak athlete. Catchers of the football, I don't know if we've had a better one in a while.
I mean, Cam was literally doing the well. Cam was like, read one, read two,
where's
read
13?
Three, read three. Okay, now, read three.
Yeah.
Like, it was just forever sometimes. And, like, every game.
He got
game,
the ball one-handed to start the game.
Yeah, every game, like, the last, like, six games, he just started out with some bomb to Cam to Eli.
Yeah, so here's my shameless plug. If you are an NDSU fan and you like seeing good players like Eli Green stay in Fargo, head over and hit that Green and Gold Collective, because that's a good way to support that mission. So. Yeah,
this is my glad to see it's taken off.
Mm-hmm.
And just so people are aware, because I think it does not bother me, but it's just in my mind, I have to keep saying it. It is the green and the gold.
Yes.
Yeah. The green and the gold.
Because I think somebody had Green and Gold Collective.
Of course they did.
Lockdown.
Great.
Whatever.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because guys like Eli, this day and age, college football portal, it'll be hard to keep them here forever.
You want to hear this tampering conversation? I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but go look at NDSU's top players followers list.
It's a fun game.
Go look at Cole Wisniewski's followers list. Go look at Cam Miller's followers list. Go look at Eli Green's followers list. That's how the game's played. It's through social media.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard this, and I don't want to throw him under the bus. But in Coach Polisek's intro presser, he said, we're going to legally use the social media to our advantage.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
boo.
No, cheat. Start cheating.
Yeah, that was funny.
Dude, and like, we haven't even started the Polisek conversation, and it's framed around, obviously, emotions for us. You and I were both, and a lot of former players and current players, were very vocal that we wanted Tyler Roll to get the job. And I think he would have been an incredible Bison head coach. It just wasn't in the cards, and he didn't get his number called on this one. They hired Coach Polisek, and just the energy and love for this program in Fargo that guy has, I'm very excited about the next era. We could do an entire podcast talking about how, especially how I fell, some of the stuff I know about how the whole process was handled, and how I think it could have been done in a better fashion to somebody who's given 20 years of his life to this university. But it wasn't. And Coach Polisek's our head coach now, and I'm excited. I met him yesterday. He did a little intro thing for BFPA members and board members. A bunch of people from the community were there. And you could just tell, man, he was like shaking with juice, ready to get going. You see coaches are active on social media, getting in the portal, hitting guys up to fill needs. Like, it feels like we're going to hit the ground running for 24, and I'm excited to be under his tutelage now.
Yeah. Just want to quickly wrap up Montana game.
Sure.
Obviously, the two-point play is going to be a big conversation. Mm-hmm. What I do want to say is, whether it was the call to go for that, they had to go for two, whether it was that call being called or the pass interference,
mm-hmm.
Just to point on the pass interference piece, when you line up in a trick play formation,
they're not calling it.
The refs are I don't even know a ref's like job. I don't know rules like 1, 2, 3. This is what you look for. As someone who has played, you can't expect the ref, because like a big thing for like Montana is going to be like hounding on the ref, like, are they even lined up correctly?
Right.
Because we have like a swinging gate right, a few guys over on the left. We have one center. Like, all the line has to be on the ball. The guy behind the line, like, I think Eli was behind the line or someone was behind the line to the right. It's like their jobs right now are just to look that everything is legal before the play starts.
And then you add in, it's double overtime in a national semifinal in Missoula.
Yeah.
Like, it's going – there's a human element to it. You can't leave it up to the refs to
In a perfect world where you're just looking at that play, because people are saying there's hand fighting. There was hand fighting, but there was also one guy who pulled the other guy to the ground.
And so then he picked the ball off.
In one picture, if they just showed the one picture in the end zone, the 3 seconds where the ball was in the air and they're hand fighting, and then Stoffel got pulled down, it's like, yeah, that's pass interference.
I hate still frame football watchers.
Yeah, but like, you can't say it wasn't pass interference. Yeah. Two, you can't expect the refs to make that call.
Correct.
Because, like, when it happened, when I watched it, I was just, like, super bummed out that they lost. It wasn't even – I saw that he got pulled to the ground, but it's just one of those things. Like, if you've played or, like, been on a team, anything like that, you just know, like, there's not going to call it.
My immediate reaction was displeasure with the play call.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fairly normal sentiment, and I've defended and will defend T-Roll and his legacy as the offensive coordinator here. It just sucks that – however it shakes out, of if Coach Roll is the offensive coordinator here, Because Polasek used very interesting terminology and wording, and feels like intentional.
As it sits right now.
He said, as it sits right now, yeah. He's our OC. So, selfishly, I want Tyler Rowe and Coach Polasek to play, to coach together next
I want
year.
Them to play together, too.
You want to play together?
Yeah.
Board drill. Get fired up. But if he's not here next year, I just hate that that was the last one.
Yeah, and I've already forgotten about the play.
Yeah.
So, like, I think fans hopefully will, too.
They
like,
better.
Obviously, that's not his lasting impact.
No, of course not.
Like,
I just like, mean,
if that's, if like, yeah.
We can't help you if that's how you're going to remember Tyler.
I'm just going to be convinced that, like, anyone that says something like that online is one of the bots that Russia's paying for.
Yeah.
That guy just put in our area to troll. But, yeah, we can move on. I guess I had Coach P. He wasn't my coach, but he was the OC my freshman year. Interacted with him a lot since I was on scout team defense. Cody Morgan was the scout team defense control. What do they call that?
Yeah, he was
with us. Yeah. No, he was my freshman year.
He was with you guys.
He was the defense one.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, I got a lot of their relationship and interactions.
Is his mini-me.
Yeah. No, I think one of the funniest scout team meetings I was ever in, he came, because he always had, like, hair, Cody did. He just shaved it off one day, and I can't remember if it was Chops or Bryce that just said, like, you want to be like Coach P that bad? And just, if you know Cody, he's like, I can't get a haircut? And then someone's like, you're yelling like him, too.
Yeah.
And then he was just steaming. You and then can't. Someone says, you're turning red like him, too.
You can't win.
Yeah, one of the funnier scout team meetings I was in. But I like Coach P. I think, and I don't know if this was just me. I was trying to think back about when Ants got hired. I think there was some, like, feeling in the locker room that Coach P was going to get it then. Did you feel that at all?
I felt pretty established that it was going to be Coach
Maybe
Ants.
I thought that it was going to be him or Polasek.
Sure.
I think that was the thing that was going around. Because I think guys had heard that he had interviewed for it. And we all knew that Ents had interviewed for it. And I think it was just like a Coach Ents is either here.
I want to give a tip of the cap to Ents.
Yeah, man, that too.
He's like 66-11 living here. He's probably going to triple his salary, and he's living in Los Angeles. That was so funny to me of people that were like, do you know the cost of living in Los Angeles? USC wrote a check for Lincoln Riley's mansion.
Yeah.
You have to imagine that USC is subsidizing it a little bit, but how perfect is
it? Like,
his kids are college age.
Here's like the thing.
Dude, it's him and Brenda going to LA.
Yeah, I don't think they're buying a home.
No.
Like, that's probably a, where do you guys want to live? Oh, this area?
Yeah,
we already leased it. Let's just go live there for
knowing
Ents
is
going to
build
years.
His bed in his office.
Yeah.
He's just going to live on campus.
So, us being Chargers fans, and Staley is fired finally, obviously.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say finally. I hate doing that, but, like, it's just been miserable. And now Dove Klieman is out there saying that
he's not a real person, though.
Saying that the Chargers have high interest in Harbaugh, so, like, hopes are already up. Like, we're gonna hire,
you know better,
Shane Waldron from the Seahawks. Like,
you know better.
But before Staley got fired, when we knew he was gonna get fired, we played the game of who would look the funniest in Chargers powder blue gear.
Yeah,
Belichick's definitely up there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Belichick is literally gonna wear a 2014 Navy San Diego's Charger sweatshirt.
He's gonna borrow it from Norv Turner.
Yeah, because Belichick did the funniest thing this year when they wore their reds.
Yeah.
He wore a sweatshirt that looked like it was like a badly printed Fanatics sweatshirt.
Yeah.
It said New England Patriots. It was red. And it just said New England Patriots in white. And it was like at the very top of his chest.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even like the mid chest where like most of the stuff is printed. And then the red was like off red. Like, it looked like, it literally looked like he went home, told his like son, like Steve or someone, like, hey, you gotta go find me like a red sweatshirt. We're doing like this red jersey game.
Robert Kraft told me I couldn't wear navy on.
Also,
sideline.
Barrel chest.
Yeah, retire because I want to hear him in media.
He won't do media.
Yeah, he will.
No,
he was on game day.
Yeah, but that's because it was Army Navy.
I think he would. And I want to see him do it. It'd be awesome to, like, we did it with Brady, too. Like, he left there and became a human. I want the same thing with Belichick.
We got to get back on topic, but, like, Brady replacing Greg Olsen next year is not.
That stinks. It's a downgrade.
Ain't gonna sit right.
Why didn't?
I'm convinced that he's not gonna do it.
If Tom was smart, he'd replace Romo. I'm tired of Tony.
Oh, Jeff! Yeah, Jeff.
He's the worst.
I don't know how we got here. Oh, the Ants thing.
Yeah,
Ants. Living in, we were trying to come up with the funniest coaches that would look funny in powder blue.
Yeah.
You know, Belichick, Andy Reid, basically just like, I don't know, just stubborn guys or like old guys, big
the
guys.
The blue collar guys.
Rex Ryan, that was mine.
Yeah. Blue collar guys don't wear candy ass powder blue.
Coach Ants living in LA is hilarious.
How funny was
it? I wish I could just be like a little fly around him the whole time. Just like, he's going to see something and just be like, like, he's going to, like, look at it.
How much In-N-Out you think he's going to mash? I don't think Ents is a big eater.
I don't think so either.
I think of, like, Blas.
Dude just played like linebacker at a D2 in the 90s.
If
like,
Blas was in L.A., every day, In-N-Out, grease cake.
Oh, man. I hope they get turned around, too, Vandy.
They just signed a 5-star.
That's insane.
The
guy who transferred quarterback that was from... He's from a good school. I remember him playing. But
this is a Vanderbilt podcast.
Yeah.
And now a USC podcast.
Yeah.
But how funny was it that USC did the edit with the, like,
old
2011 Bison Zephyr hat?
That, so that I tweeted it, like,
cannot be, like, kosher for...
I want to know where
due to licensing deals.
I
want to
know where Entz got those hats the last few years because they have not been making them
since. He called Brian Gordon. Hey, what do you have?
BG, you know, the corner in the back of the, you take the scissor lift up and
he can't even defend himself.
I don't have a good BG impression. I didn't talk to him enough. He hated freshmen.
Yeah.
That's why I got close to BJ.
As he should. BJ's the man.
Yeah. But yeah, gotta give Coach Ents some love.
Yeah. And
here's like the biggest part, and here's like a personal reason why I think he took it. As crazy and weird as it sounds, they're in the Big Ten next year.
Yeah.
Like, that man is meant to be in the Big Ten, and, like, now he's going to be able to recruit guys in the Big – because, like, can we be honest, USC, they don't recruit in the Big Ten.
No.
But they're going to have to because they're going to get bullied by some of these teams, even teams that aren't good.
Yeah.
USC against Iowa would be so funny.
Go play in West Lafayette.
Yeah.
That, like, 7 o'clock game where they always starch Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like, they're – USC,
they're going to play at Indiana for an 8:30 a.m. local time start.
And if, like, they're not recruiting the Midwest guys that fit the Big Ten profile, they're going to get smashed.
You have Buddha and Cignetti at Indiana now, and they're going to get your ass.
Get after that ass.
But, yeah.
Yeah, the people calling it, like, a lateral move is, like, it literally is improving his career situation. Because guess what? I laid it out this way. This is completely hypothetical. He goes, gets some experience, maybe that DC. The DC is highly touted. So, like, say he goes and gets a job in the NFL, Ents gets the call up. He learns some offense from Lincoln Riley, learns how to do the portal and the NIL. Guess what? Kirk Ferentz retires. Who are they calling?
Yeah.
It's completely possible. That's how college football works.
Yeah. No, it. I mean, yeah.
And would they call him in 5 years if he stayed at NDSU for the next 5? I don't know.
Probably not. And then here's just another one. Can we just play a game? You name colleges, and I'm going to say if they're a bigger brand than USC, in my mind. And I'm thinking football mostly, obviously.
There's, like, 3 right answers, but
yeah.
Let's go. You want, like, other big schools?
Yeah.
Alabama.
They're on the same level.
Florida.
No.
Florida State.
No.
Clemson.
No.
Michigan?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Maybe.
Minnesota?
Yeah.
Kansas State?
No. Sorry. No.
It's Texas. Just,
yeah. So, yeah. The top five is USC, Texas, Bama, like, Michigan, and then, like, maybe Michigan.
Yeah.
Because I would say Michigan, Ohio State is a slash for number 4.
Sure.
Not USC being one, but just like a 4th or spot.
I don't know if as a brand Ohio State is that big.
Yeah, I'm thinking football too, though. Then the last one, like, because I don't even think you can put Georgia up there as good as they've been.
No.
That's very, it's not just yet. Recency bias. Yeah. Like, it does, Notre Dame. Notre Dame's probably the one.
Sure.
Yeah, like Notre Dame, USC, Texas, Bama. Like,
is Oregon
consensus?
There?
Oregon might be there someday, but like, not even close to me right now.
Yeah.
Just the historic. You think of team because like Texas being good again is so good for college football.
Yeah, of course.
If USC ever just goes undefeated in the playoff, like.
I'd be the Jim McMahon meme if USC and Texas play in the
people just don't understand
playoff.
Like they should understand because everyone saying it's a lateral move is 80 years older than I am. They should remember how cool college football was when Reggie Bush and Leinart and who was Thunder?
Lendale White.
Yeah, when they were there.
He's like 260 pounds.
Yeah, it's like I remember watching that as a kid. I still go back and watch Reggie Bush highlights.
Of course.
Give him back his Heisman.
Yeah.
Listen to us.
Yeah, especially now, like in the NIL world, it's crazy.
It's so gross.
He did give it up.
Yeah.
And like, I've listened to other good college football players talk about it. They're like, Reggie, what are you doing that for, bro? What are they going to
do? Did he actually like bring in the trophy?
He brought it and gave it back.
Ew.
I think that's my understanding of what happened.
Gross. But yeah, Coach Entz to USC. And like, here's what I've told everybody. I think sicko is the new word. It's like the cool thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Entz, strictly, as a linebacker's coach, he's going to be a sicko.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of scares
me. You give him a five-star athlete, scary.
You give him five five-star athletes to put in three spots. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's like every guy there is four or five. Mm-hmm. It's not. And, like, now he just has 10 of them in a room. Like,
this is semantics, but I want to – what is the associate head coach of the defense?
No clue.
Isn't that what the title was?
Yeah.
Besides linebackers coach?
Yeah.
I don't care.
It's probably 50. Okay.
Dude, that is so cool he gets to coach at USC.
So cool.
And personally, like, he's done a lot for me and Big Deck as a business. Like, he's pushed us when he doesn't have to. That's an expensive guy. The head coach of NDSU is an expensive guy to have on your side. And he did that for me, so I'll always have Coach Entz's back.
Dude, he's living everyone's dream. He gets to coach at the place OJ played.
Dude, you're a sicko. And dude, they're empty nesters this year.
Yeah, they're just gonna be chilling.
That rocks.
Yeah,
they're gonna
go
live in LA.
They can go to Orange County, like drink some wine.
Yeah.
Like, dude,
that's not what you do in Orange County.
Yeah,
yeah.
Go check out
you gorilla
some row and.
What have you been talking about?
Do Google images and just go, like, around L.A.
No.
It's fun. It's a crazy place.
I imagine it is.
I don't know. Like, how much do you have to say about the Coach P thing? Because I thought immediately when it happened, and again, I think it's just because I know that he loves this place. So, yeah. Like, it makes, as sad as I am for T-Roll, obviously I'm not a player anymore. But, like, I played a year while he was there. I know how much he cares about it. And I know how good of friends he is with T-Roll.
Yeah.
It's, like, I'm, like, still 100% excited about it.
Of course.
Like, objectively speaking, no emotion in it. I think it's a great hire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is a classic, like, two things can be true at once. Super heartbroken for T-Roll because he wanted it.
Of course.
Still pumped that Coach P is back. And, like, I'll just say this to, like, guys on the team that I don't think listen, but just talking into air, I don't think you come back for a third time not loving it here, not caring about the guys that you haven't even recruited here, but just you just know – he knows that the guys are here because they want to be Bison. Like, that's the most important thing to him. Like, he loves you immediately, his first day.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, a fake, because, like, I know he said he's changed a little bit. It's Coach B.
Yeah.
He'll tell you some shit if he feels a certain way.
Which
I
love.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's how all, great coaches are. He's probably a little bit more open than most. He definitely used to be.
Yeah.
Has some of the best one-liners.
Dude,
that
he's so funny.
I don't think it won't
just
get,
as a
it,
person.
It won't get him in trouble.
But
if you go on Twitter, you do hashtag shit Coach P says.
Yeah.
I'm not airing out old laundry.
No, that's
all the players back in 2013-14, they started a hashtag on Twitter. That's when Twitter was great. Those years.
Yeah.
You couldn't post pictures, videos. You had 120 characters.
Yep.
They did hashtag shit coach P says.
Burping's gross, farting's the best.
Yeah, they just had all, and it's all just one-liners of Coach P.
We should do stardom, sit-em, hashtag stuff Coach P says.
Yeah. But, no, I think, obviously, like, today's world, who knows how, like, the guys on the team will react to him. Obviously, he's probably mellowed out. It's been 8 years since he's been here.
Yeah.
Coming up on eight, I guess. It's not like he's coming back because he's, like, failing at different places.
No. He's succeeded everywhere he's
gone. Yeah, he – I think they were, like –
turned out two first-round draft picks.
I think
on
they
the
were
O-line.
Top half of the Mountain West offense this year. I went and looked. I think they were, like, 8-6 or whatever.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about Wyoming either. They have a select amount of guys they can recruit.
People think people are crazy for coming to play football in Fargo. You're what? Insane to go play football in Laramie.
Yeah, you can't drive there.
I don't think they have an Applebee's.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Laramie's a tough, it's a sweet college town, I think. Like, I've seen pictures.
That it has one of the views. It's like,
oh, for sure.
It's
yeah,
up
yeah.
there. Like, I think it's in a mountain range.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Somehow they pull off brown and yellow.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God. The Western font on their jerseys
is
so cool.
But, like, yeah, I just, and then obviously, yeah, he coached Tristan Wirfs and Tyler Linderbaum.
Yep. And probably other guys that were missed.
All of his years at Iowa. I think he was there for three or four. I think maybe four. He just, I don't know, man. I have a hard time believing that he won't do some, like, real good shit here.
Yeah.
And like, he's going to, he shouted out the Green and the Gold Collective.
Yep. He knows, dude.
He looks forward to working with them. He said it, like, he wants to give guys as many opportunities as they want. And he wants to make sure that they're getting the opportunities that they are, like looking for as far as the NIL stuff. And then for the portal stuff, he was just at FBS schools for the last 7 years. Like,
yeah.
I think he knows how this stuff works.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. We got some holes to fill.
The part of the NIL stuff that I'm excited to see them use and kind of change the thinking of, and maybe they're doing it right now, I have no idea. But we have to, as well as use it as retention to keep the guys that need to stay in Fargo, because guess what? Some guys are going to leave.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And then sometimes it's okay to cut those losses. There are guys that need to stay here. But you have to use that money as acquisition as well.
Yeah.
What can we use it as a free agent to get somebody to come here and fill a spot that we need at corner, at one of the tackle spots, whatever it is. I don't even know who's graduating or who's leaving or who's going to play. I haven't looked that far ahead. But
the guys I'm excited for that are leaving, that have already posted about it, I think Lippy is going somewhere to play for 1 year.
Yep.
Gennaro. Like, that's great for
those
guys.
Go get your snaps in.
Because who knows? Like, crazier stuff. And, like, we'll say this. I'm not saying that these guys are as good as, obviously, Chris Board. But, like, CB didn't play. He didn't start for, like, his last 2 years of college football.
Yeah.
He is still in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know.
By the way, got, like, the highest praise from Belichick that
for
he's ever
teamer,
given to
yeah.
anybody.
Yeah. So it's just like you just never know. So like, like go play if you're not because like obviously so the Libby thing we have for the first time in a while that wide receiver room is looking like so good.
Yeah,
you're just like okay, here we go. Like, because as it sits right now, I think Rodra and Eli are back.
Mm-hmm.
Braylon and Mathis are done. Right,
I think so.
They are
old.
Yeah,
and then. You have all the young bucks coming,
all
like Heggerly and
all the tall ones.
Yeah,
which okay, and then like we can touch on it briefly. One of my coworkers also played for NDSU, and like he stopped by my desk the other day. He has a desk. I have a cube. He stopped by my cube the other day, and he just like asked about the recruiting stuff, and I just said like, you probably have the same mindset. Like, I just refuse to get into the hype about the high schoolers.
Yeah.
How, because like some kid decommitted here and went to SDSU.
Maxwell
right?
Woods.
I just, if that's what he thought was good for him, then good.
Mm-hmm.
All I care about, I don't care about those kids whatsoever until the second they step foot on campus, because that's when it's real. Like, and like,
that's why I like signing day, because you get to see who's coming.
Yeah, then they're here.
Yeah, they're not high schoolers anymore.
They're signed up for a year now.
Yeah. By the way, there's some long jokers in that class,
and like, that's what, all over the place. And I think I've been, as a you say short king myself, I'm not short.
Sure.
I wear Air Maxes because they look good, not because they add an inch and a half.
It's because you're Eli Green's height and my weight.
That would be a problem. I'd look like Ed on 90 Day Fiance. Lost my train of thought. Oh, as someone who you consider short, I said, I think the last few years, maybe it was just kids were just an inch shorter.
Sure.
These last like couple years in the recruiting cycle. This year, I saw a lot of
6'4",
like Kramer licking lips.
Dude.
Because I think we did the test. They used to do, I'm sure he still does it. He does a body comp test when you're a freshman that basically puts a max on your weight.
Yeah.
Where like one day, and I remember Spence Wagey, because he came in at like 220, and like Kramer's thing had him at like 285, and we all joked. I sent you that picture of Spence, that video.
You think he's 300? He's got to be close.
If I ever get back down to 300, I'm not going to look like that.
No.
He actually looks like Javon Kinlaw.
Yeah.
Because he walked from where Javon was.
Yeah.
And he didn't look that much different.
Yeah.
He was just white.
He's giant.
He might be one of the bigger whites I've ever seen.
A large, exciting white, yes. You better
watch what is he, 6'4", 6 feet? He's probably billed as 6'5".
Dude, he's 6'5", yeah. He's taller than
he has to be 290. There's no way he's anything less.
Yeah.
And like
stacked, dude.
And like those are the kind of guys that I saw signed.
Yeah.
I think every DN was 6'4", 6'5".
I can tell you.
It was.
After talking to the coaches yesterday, that was an intentional choice. They wanted to recruit a Spencer Wagey body.
Well, can I say it too? One thing I think SDSU has done the last few years, they have recruited kids like that.
Yeah.
And where we went in a different direction at, like in the last couple of years, just because I think we're going after such like great athletes coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could tell by this class, they were like, yeah, a year from now, all these guys are going to be 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
15 of that will be muscle, and they'll all be 6'5", 245.
And they just had a year of them getting the piss beat out of them because they're 220. So they're mad, too.
Yeah.
Like classic Bison projects, which I'm excited
for. Dude,
they
were all 6'5".
6'6", 222.
It was so cool.
The offensive lineman from Minnesota, 6'6", 222.
Yeah.
Kramer just licking his. I told him that. He didn't know that they signed the kid. And he's like, how big is he? I said 6'6", 222. And he goes,
oh, my. Yeah. He's sick.
Yeah. Dude, just immediately sick. On the beef board.
The seafood diet. Yeah. The seafood, eat food.
Oh, dude.
I
have some stuff to tell you off the mic.
Okay.
Two breaking news things that we could do right now, but I don't want
to. Okay. I went in the Ram chat and I just said, like, I put because the thing in there, because like, I don't follow any of these kids, but like the way Elon does Twitter now or X, I just, my people I know who retweet it, whatever, or just like, even not a retweet, I'll just, it's like a sponsor tweet almost.
Yeah.
I saw the 6'6", 222 kid.
Yeah.
And I put it in the Ram chat, and I said, you boys got to reach. I said, at Cordell, at Rado, you boys got to reach out.
Yeah.
Because Rado was pretty I feel like Rado showed up 240.
Yeah.
I think Cordell showed up a little heavier, 250. Rado said, eat till you puke, and then eat again.
And then eat the
until you feel like puking.
Yeah.
That's basically it for guys like that.
Cody was 6'5", 221.
Yeah. When insane. But, no, it was cool to see the length, the frames on some of these. That's the big word, right? It's like frame.
Yeah.
I think we signed a running back that was 6'1", 215.
Yeah.
Like. He's a year in and ready to go.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
He could step a foot on here and be ready.
Yeah. Like, if he knows the playbook, he could be going right now. Because I think that's how Dom was, right? Ganella?
Mm-hmm.
That kid showed up, and he was a beefcake.
Yeah.
He was
a professional athlete.
Yeah, he was a baseball player. Yeah. He had the pro baseball player thighs.
Yeah.
I remember cold tubbing and hot tubbing because he was Cam's class.
Yeah.
He was one of the freshmen I got to know because he acted like a pro the day he got in.
He was a grown-up.
He was doing he was one of the guys I gave shit to because when he was a senior in high school, he would like pull sleds and take Coach Roll in it. Yeah. And like he was getting like thrown around the chat, like, look at this guy.
Yeah.
But like he got here and he was, yeah, he was a, he acted like he was 25 and he was a cool dude.
Yeah.
And, but like he showed up and he was just jocked.
He just had a signing bonus in his checking account.
Yeah.
From the Diamondbacks.
I think it was like 20K or something.
He was so cool.
Yeah.
I like Dom.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But no, I got.
Should we break what we've found out from the group chat?
I haven't even looked at it. Wait.
I don't think it's thing we can say on this. But people are going to find stuff out that will be very good. Not very good. That was. People are going to get news that I will not break here.
Okay.
That was poor framing from me. I apologize. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You see mine?
No, that's the one I saw.
Oh. Go up.
I got nothing. I can't read it.
Okay.
We'll have to talk after.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to, like, look for it. I just can't find what you're talking about, but yeah.
Yeah.
That one's big.
That's huge, dude. That's a program resetter right there. That's a Bison.
And I don't mind it.
What do you mean?
Because usually when you see that first word, when it's, you know, if that was another program, I would just say, like, oh, they don't even know what they're doing.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking about the one I sent about. Yeah.
This is a great way to end. Yeah. Because now we have to end because now I have to know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
But, okay, all in all, heartbroken for Coach Roll. Whatever he decides to do, stay here.
Dude, I'm going to be his biggest
fan. Stay here, great. Go somewhere to, like, grow and get out of this place, great. Because, like, he's given everything he has.
And if I see somebody say a goddamn bad word about it, you will get attacked on
also live television. Also, like, YDKB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know ball.
Yeah.
You don't certified know ball. Non-ball knower.
Yeah.
Check the stats. Numbers don't lie.
He tweeted them.
Men lie, women lie. Numbers don't.
Yep. Also excited for Coach B.
Yeah.
I think, not that things need to be turned around, but he's just going to do some new shit.
That's the hardest part.
That's what happens with everything, too. Because people are like, I think he'll revamp things in a good way.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with what Entz was doing.
Yeah, I'm not shitting on Entz.
Sometimes you just need some, like.
Am I wrong that it just feels different
now? Yeah.
And that's not, like you said, it's not an an indictment on Entz. It just feels like. I don't know. It's
here's a different way to describe it. It's 2 years in a row we haven't won the Natty.
Yeah.
And it's the first time it's ever happened since us winning it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Lost once in 2016. Coach P's last game was OC against JMU. Is it Zamir Abdullah was their running back?
I don't
know. He ran for like 8,000 yards in that game.
Good.
Then we win three, and then we lose the spring season. And then we win that fall. So it's like we've only ever lost one, and then we've won it again. And, like, obviously two in a row, that it just feels like we haven't won the Natty in 15 years. And I think everyone probably feels like that in the locker room.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think no matter who suits up next year, no matter who is part of the assistant staff, you know, OC, DC, all of that, like, with Coach P at the helm, hopefully we return a decent amount of guys, and then whoever is called to step up, because this was basically the same exact team that they had the previous season.
Yeah.
Like 2022 and 2023, I can't even remember who they lost, like not that many guys.
It was the guys in my class. It was Cody and Nash. And
yeah.
Dawson Weber, Tutsi.
Yeah. But a lot of the same guys, I think there will be a little bit more turnover this year.
Yeah.
Whether it's graduation or the portal.
Dude, and there were some young bucks that were getting snaps that are going to be very, very sporty after another offseason.
Heisman and Dutenheffer.
He's going to be a problem. There's a linebacker that's going to be a problem. His name is escaping me. He wears Hankey's number. He wears 52. He's a dog. There's a couple long joker DNs, some garbage scooping arms over there.
And I just remember seeing their names and their bodies were big. One came out of high school and one was Iowa State. But the Zenzen brothers?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I feel good. Like they'll probably just be contributors naturally.
Wurtz's brother?
Yeah, they both just went through their first year here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the only people that have ever transferred in and done, like, well first year is B-Tom.
Unreal B-Tom.
B-Tom was...
They need to write about B-Tom.
That's what... Does he still have eligibility? He can come back for another.
Yeah, come back. But
no. Already excited for next year. It's only 30 weeks away.
I know, it's so excited. We have to wait till
35 weeks.
I'm going to make you commit or not right now. Boulder in September?
You know where to find me. I love that he just called it out in the first presser. Coach P said, Coach P says, I know we'll be in a great position to compete with Colorado.
That's going to be.
And then he goes, and all of our other games. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He has that thing circled.
Dude, how funny the signing day thing. Like, shout out Ian Dino, man. He was just like chasing Polasek around with his head.
Dino also a great public speaker.
Dino is so
good. He was on his game.
He's so good at his job.
In that presser.
Dude, the suit, the slick back hair.
A pro.
Handsome.
A pro.
Good for Ian Dino.
Yeah. Former fat guy, too, and he's just so skinny.
Reformed fat guy.
God.
He is he's going to do very, very well for himself in the college football world.
Wherever he goes. Yeah. Because, like, he just does
I hate that.
He just does everything.
Yeah. It gets interpreted when we say stuff like that, like, wherever he goes, that we know something.
Ian
Dino could be here. I have no idea.
Yeah.
He could be. We are not as insider as people think we are.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say that this is what he is, because this has a negative connotation to it. When people say someone's a yes man, there's a negative connotation to it.
Yeah.
He's a yes man and, like, oh, you're going to ask me to do something? Yeah, I'm going to kill it.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to, yeah, I'll do that, and I'll be the best at it.
He's going to do it, and it's, like, absolutely necessary for the program to move forward.
Yeah.
And he does it better than anybody would.
Yeah.
That's a hard job, dude.
Shout out, Ian.
Good signing class. I think you wrapped up. We shared kind of the same feelings on the hiring thing. Happy for Polasek, heartbroken for Coach Roll. And again, I think Coach Roll is will find success wherever he goes. If that's not in Fargo, we do not know where he is right now. But I'll see you in 3 months when we get on this again. Maybe we'll chat about Bison basketball or something. I don't know, but. Everybody have a safe and Merry Christmas. Travel safely. Don't do anything dumb. No, do people fry turkeys on Christmas? No, is that a thing?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so don't burn your house down for that.
We always used to have, like, spaghetti at my grandma's house. I don't know why.
That's kind of weird. Italian.
Oh, also, before we leave.
Paisan, Quinn.
I hope you have a big plate of shit to eat for saying root beer floats were bad.
They are.
Think you were
start a said ice cream treats right now?
I can't right now. My brain's just not in it.
Okay. You know you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's bad.
What's number one? Like the SpongeBob thing?
That rocked.
That actually tasted bad, I think. I just think it was like a
No, it was like a great sugary.
Yeah.
What is number one?
For just ice cream treat?
Ice cream sandwich. Like a cookie. Not the
You know what little. I like better than that, but it's maybe just me. It's the big the King Cone. If you're going in a freezer in the gas station, you're grabbing it. The cone.
Oh.
With ice cream on the top, fudge in the bottom.
Like the drumstick.
Yeah, the King drumstick.
Sure.
Yeah.
Drumstick is good.
Yeah.
The little bite at the end. They sell just those little bottoms of the
cone. I know. It's so ridiculous.
It's a problem.
I've had them.
It's a real problem.
Yeah.
If there's a treat, Quinn's had it. That's a fact of the matter.
Yeah, I've had it.
Or
for sure.
Dip. Or a dip.
Dips are a problem.
Yeah. This show was dumb.
Shout out to dips. I need to get on the other dip so I can lose some weight so I stop eating.
Just start doing the Zen thing.
Siberians.
Do not start with those.
I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'll gut them too.
You'll lose weight because you're just throwing everything up.
Hey. I need that too.
You're encouraging poor behavior.
I need to get sick. Kendra's going to hate that
can
I say
you
that.
Stop?
Because I'm a baby when I'm sick.
Yeah, I mean, don't say that.
Well, whatever. I would sign up to get sick if I could.
Dude,
just...
I got bad news for you. You have a 1-year-old. You're going to be fat till you die.
I know.
It's never changing.
My dad smoked, and he was skinny. Should I smoke? Shit cost
I don't mean
so...
to be crass, but how'd that end up for him?
Cost so much. Yeah. That might have just been the chemicals. He was working at a... an elevator. That was a spring that cropped.
That's what you're blaming it on?
Bill Gates already
cigarettes
got in
there. Are pretty undefeated in that realm.
Yeah.
They're cool, though.
It wasn't lung, though. It was pancreatic.
Doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Dead is dead.
What a insane end to this podcast.
You kept talking.
You started it. All right.
We were talking about ice cream. And then you went straight to dead dad.
I didn't. You did. You said your dead dad smoked cigarettes and he was skinny.
You almost joined the club, so.
Mine used to smoke cigarettes and he's not skinny anymore.
Yeah. It's too bad.
Glass house throwing.
Your brother's stones. Skinny, though.
Yeah. But he's short like you. 5'9".
All right. We got to leave.
Bye, everybody.
Go, Bison.